All right, we are going to have Shirley come up. And she's going to lead a Bible study. Just gotta move this equipment over quickly. Praise God.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, our God is so good. And it's wonderful to be here tonight. Praise the Lord. Just thankful for everyone here. Thank God that he's here. And so thankful for everybody online. Praise our Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, we are such a privileged people to know our Lord. And oh, to have this fellowship, these times of the Lord. Oh, by his grace, by his mercy, somehow we're going to get to that higher ground and oh my, get closer to the Lord before this is all over. Praise our God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we begin here tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, that we can join here together. We thank you that we know that you are in our midst, O Lord, and that you are here to meet every need, O God, to give us faith, to give us that overcoming strength that we need. And, O Lord, I pray that you talk to us. O God, I pray, O God, that you get a hold of our hearts, our minds, our thought process, Lord. O God, that it would be led by you, Lord, that, O God, we would have faith in such a time as this, Lord. O God, oh, as we see all these things coming to pass, I pray that you bring us to that higher ground, O Lord, to that place where you'd have us to be, Lord. Oh, God, that place of expectation, that place where, oh, God, where faith dwells, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, we need you, Lord, and I pray that you'd inspire us tonight. I pray that you would talk to us tonight. I pray that the devil would be rebuked in the name of Jesus by every, oh, God, every thought process, everything that he would, oh, God, try to overwhelm. I pray, oh, God, against any of his schemes. Oh, Lord, in Jesus' name, by the power of the blood, we thank you, God. We praise you, Lord. I pray that you give us the strength, the ability, the anointing, oh, God, that we need here tonight, Lord, that you'd use me, God, that you give me, oh, Lord, the words and the authority and the ability in Jesus' precious name. Oh, God, the anointing. Oh, thank you, Lord. We praise you. We love you. We ask you to be here. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise our God. All right, we serve a wonderful God. And if you'll help me, I'm planning on getting in the car tomorrow and going up north to be with my sisters and brother and their spouses. And the occasion is that my sister Sharon, who is the missionary, she's going to make a quick trip, she and her husband Henry, to the Wausau area, which isn't terribly far from Eau Claire, but anyway, she's stopping over in Eau Claire, and we're going to, Lord willing, have a little time together if this all comes to pass. So if you pray for me, I plan to solo this, and I sure do need the Lord's help. Eau Claire is like 3.5 hours away. So praise the Lord by his grace and mercy. Amen. And then keep Brother Tim in prayer too, because he's going up north to, Lord willing, on Saturday, I believe, to help his mother with her deck. And I would ask that you pray that this could be done in a short order rather than a long order. And I'm not quite sure. I know... Brother Tim and I are expected to be in New York fairly about the second week in September. And if by God's grace he can work this all out, that will come to pass. But anyway, we need your prayers, and we thank God that we can put these things in God's hands. For my, we sure do need him. Every moment, every step of the day. And oh, thank God that we can put these things in his hands. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, well, we're going to have some Bible studies here tonight, some studying of the Bible, and I'm going to call this message, we'll be going to the book of Acts, I believe, and I'm going to call it, They Turn the World Upside Down. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I am so inspired by the events that happened in the book of Acts. And, you know, as I begin here tonight, we do know that Jesus gave his church power and authority. And, of course, before he ascended into heaven, he told his church, his people, to go to Jerusalem and tarry until they be endued with power from on high. Amen. And he knew that we would need this power in order to overcome the battles that we fight on this earth. And I'll tell you what, it can be pretty continuously. And if it isn't somebody just trying to put a BB gun through our head or something, I don't know, whatever all, but you know, if it isn't that sort of thing, there's all kinds of trials in this world. You know, I mean, oh my, it just seems like we can fight battles on every side, just one way or the other, and the opposition can be very great. I know we fight it, we fight it probably every day, one way or the other. And I'm so glad that there is power in the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Jesus told those that were with him there as he was about to ready to leave this earth before he ascended into heaven. Acts, the first chapter, verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And I know if Jesus hadn't promised that power, then it wouldn't be available. But I'm so glad he knew that we as human beings were going to need something greater than ourselves. And without this power, how could we overcome the temptations of this world, the persecutions of this world, the trials, the sickness? Oh my, you know, all the things that come upon us as individuals while we still are on this earth. But praise the Lord, Jesus left us promises. Amen. The 14th chapter, John brings forth many of those promises. And you know, one that he stated is in the 12th verse here in John, the 14th chapter. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Amen. And so, yes, he is telling his people that, oh yes, that the same things that he did while he walked this earth, that he was going to give us the power and the authority to go forth and do the same. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And I know, here we are. I know Jesus asked that question in the book of Luke, I believe the 18th chapter. And, you know, he asked, you know, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And, you know, I, as I see this, get an indicator at times of people's thinkings. You know, I can see where faith is kind of lacking in so many areas, in so many ways. And oh, I know that we all need to get to that place where we can expect the great things of God. We can expect the moves of the Holy Ghost. We can expect to see miracles happening in this world. And Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Amen. Amen. Oh, sometimes, you know, we have too much faith in people, perhaps, or maybe the medical system, or, you know, on books and all kinds of other things. And, you know, we kind of forget that we serve the mighty God, and He has no limitations. All power has been given Him in heaven and in earth, as we know from Matthew, the 28th chapter. And, you know, praise the Lord. You know, we are so privileged and blessed to be His children because He gave us that power and authority too. We could just grasp this. Oh my, we could just realize it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm thinking at the moment of Mark, the 11th chapter. Some verses here, and going to verse 20 here in the 11th chapter of Mark. And praise the Lord. I didn't plan to go here, but I feel the Lord directing. Praise the Lord. And it tells us here, "And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God." And, you know, it's just coming to mind right now. You know, I had last year I grew some mustard greens, and they mostly went to seed. And this year, a couple of the plants came back up. And I was showing Brother Tim the other day, because it is a marvel, because, you know, I brought in, you know, some of the pods that had dried. And you open the pods, and here's this collection of tiny, tiny, tiny little seeds, mustard seeds. And oh my, you know, it's such a visual. Because, you know, Jesus used that, you know, to talk about faith. You know, just faith the size of a mustard seed. And, oh, believe me, it's too bad I can't show you all. You know, they're little. They're really little. You could get a whole bunch of them, you know, on your little fingernail. Oh, my. But God isn't expecting us to have huge amounts of faith. No, He's telling us just a little bit of faith will move mountains. Amen. Praise the Lord. And here, you know, He tells us here in this 11th chapter, Mark, verse 22, "And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. But oh yes, he went on to say in verse 24, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye shall receive them, and ye shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses." And oh my, but yes, he's been talking about faith. And oh, just, you know, to have that little bit of faith. Oh my, and it just enough, oh, to say unto this mountain. I mean, you know, we would think in ourselves we need a great big amount of faith to, you know, tell that mountain to go.
But I'll tell you what, there are mountains in our lives all the time, obstacle and hindrances, and yes, they need to go in the name of Jesus. They need to go, amen. And you know, he's telling us, you know, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, we serve an amazing, mighty God. And oh, yes, he gave, as I've been saying here, his church power and authority. He did not leave us comfortless. No, he knew that we would need, like I already have said, a strength greater than ourselves to do the works that Jesus Christ did. And oh yes, to overcome, to be strengthened. Oh yes, Mark the 16th chapter, verse 15, it tells us, as Jesus is commissioning his disciples before he ascended into heaven, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Praise the Lord. This is God's word. These are words that Jesus Christ spoke forth. And you know what? Those that were with him believed it. Tells us in verse 19 here, in the 16th chapter of Mark. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up to heaven and sat on the right hand of God, that place of power and authority. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes. Oh, yes, that's the plan of God, that, oh, yes, he would be on this earth to minister for a short 3.5 years. But when he left, he would send back the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord, to empower us, to give us that power from on high. Praise the Lord. Oh, so that we could be endued with it. To be endued means to be clothed with his power from on high, the Holy Ghost. Amen. To be clothed with that power from on high. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise our God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And oh, yes, by his strength and by his might, his church goes on, a victorious church. Without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Oh, my, that goes forth to do the work of the Lord as he has commissioned us. Praise the Lord. Oh, to go forth and preach the gospel to every creature. Oh my. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpent. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. And yes, so again here, John, the 14th chapter and verse 12. I'll read it one more time. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And verse 13 tells us, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. He emphasizes it again. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And then, of course, there is a clause here, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Amen. And that will, you know, everything will hinge upon that. Because if we're living in victory and we're serving the Lord and we're doing his will, we also will be keeping his commandments. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And yes, he said, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Oh, that is so beautiful. Oh, Jesus is a man, you know, was with them for a short period, and you know, basically that'll be the same place he wants in order to be with him. But oh my, now he comes to live within our very being, praise the Lord, that he may live or abide with us forever. Praise the Lord. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Praise the Lord. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Amen. Yes. Oh, yes. Jesus was sent. Yes. Oh, yes. As Brother Samuel was telling us there from Acts, the third chapter. Oh, yes. When Peter was preaching there in that third chapter and saying in verse 19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. Yes, amen. He sends Jesus Christ to come and live in our hearts. The Spirit of truth, the Comforter, the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's, oh yes, the Spirit that was in Jesus Christ, who comes to dwell in our very beings. And then we're told in verse 21 here, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Amen. He's going to be there until it's over, you know, and the restitution of all things comes to pass, and he makes a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Amen. Praise the Lord. And yes, those prophets of old spoke about that day. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But oh yes, let's go into the book of Acts now. And tonight I'd like to go into the 17th chapter of the book of Acts. Read a portion here. Praise the Lord. Acts, the 17th chapter. And it tells us here, and this is Paul's second missionary journey. He's with Silas on this trip. And here they are. They're on missions trip. They've been in Philippi, and now they're traveling. And it tells us, now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures. So this was how Paul went about it. He'd come to a new area, and if there was a synagogue there, he would go. You know, mentioned to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Well, he gave the Jews that opportunity to realize that the Messiah had come, and he would teach them. And so that was his manner. And so for three Sabbath days, 3 weeks in a row, you could say, he reasoned with them out of the scriptures. And he was opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you is Christ, or yes, the Anointed One, or the Messiah, amen, the one that they were told to look for. And you know, I've mentioned this at another moment, you know, that I think the Jews had a little trouble, you know, seeing some of the prophetic utterances in the Old Testament, talking about Jesus as coming to conquer, you know, his second return, coming to judge, and all of that. But, you know, there are also those prophetic utterances, oh, so beautiful they are, that talk about the suffering Messiah, the suffering Christ. And, you know, that's the aspect that it seemed the Jewish people wanted to ignore, because, you know, their Messiah was coming to deliver them from Roman bondage, you know, and make them great, you know, conquer everybody else, and so on and so on. But anyway, that wasn't the purpose or reason of Jesus Christ's first coming. So here's Paul. He's in the synagogues, the synagogue here in Thessalonica, and yeah, for three Sabbaths, he's teaching them, opening and alleging or declaring that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And you know, it tells us in verse 4, and some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, or you know, they began to associate or keep company with Paul and Silas. And on the other hand, and of the devout Greeks, Gentile people, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. So there's a stir going on here. The Lord is working, and even some of the Jewish folks are believing initially here in this fourth verse. And beyond that, you know, those that were Greeks and devout, wow, there was a great multitude of them that are hearing the gospel and believing it. And of the chief women, noble women, there were quite a few also. Not a few, it says. But, you know, it doesn't take too long until trouble develops. And I do marvel, here we have a new church that, you know, is coming into being here, the church at Thessalonica. You know, people are just beginning to be stirred and receive the gospel message and obey it and go forth with it. But, you know, it didn't take too long for trouble to develop. Not long at all. And so we read that there were some Jews that did believe and consorted with Paul and Silas. But on the other hand, there were a whole bunch of them that did not. And here we have the unbelieving Jews bringing up a hornet's nest here. And it tells us, but the Jews which believed not moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company. So, you know, they're going to go to the lowest of people, and, you know, people that didn't have, you know, morals or scruples, and you know, just, you know, go get them and yeah, form a company, because, you know, they would do at their bidding. And, you know, they did. They began to stir up a riot. Oh, yes, and it says, so here they are. They found all these lewd fellows of the baser sort and gathered a company together, and then they set all the city on an uproar and assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. And so they're literally going to the house of Jason. I would believe that this is where Paul and Silas were staying. And here, they cause a big uproar, a big riot here. And then they come, you know, to where Paul and Silas have been staying, the house of Jason. And, you know, they're just going to bring them out and probably kill them on the spot if they could. But, you know, Paul and Silas weren't there. They weren't there. So it tells us in verse 6, And when they found them, and when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also." And you know, wow, what a compliment in reality, you know. People that were so close to the Lord that, you know, they were seeing signs and wonders, the work of God, and turning the world upside down. Oh, praise the Lord, you know. Oh, what the power of God can do. And oh, people will be together and have faith and go forth and do the work. Oh my, so here it is, and oh my, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also." And, you know, I imagine news had spread, you know, Paul and Silas had gone other places and converted a lot of people, a lot of signs and wonders being done and so on, and, you know, news like that travels. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. But anyway, they're stirring. They're causing a very big disturbance here. They're opposing the gospel in a huge way. And it tells us, "Whom Jason hath received," and that's talking about Paul and Silas, "and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus." And these troublemakers who were pounding at the door and causing this great trouble, you know, it says, "And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things." So, you know, they were spreading, you know, this tale that, you know, is Paul and Silas, and of course Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but they're going, you know, at a place to cause confusion here deliberately by, you know, making this accusation that, you know, these are troublemakers, you know, they're opposing Caesar, you know, they're coming against him, you know, they're saying there's another king, not Caesar, and, you know, they were not, you know, putting down Caesar. I'm sure, you know, but, you know, this is how these troublemakers stirred up the masses and made them all upset. And so here, this trouble has developed. And so the rulers of the city are alerted now, and they're, you know, they've drawn Jason and the other brethren there to the authorities here. And, you know, thank God, when the brethren realized that this was developing, it tells us in verse 10, "And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews." And then we have, you know, the story developing in Berea. But tonight I'm concentrating there with this experience here in this explosive experience here in Thessalonica. And, you know, we don't have a tremendous amount of details, but if you could just, you know, kind of visualize this in your mind and see how this is developing and how, you know, all at once, you know, the wonderful joy that comes forth when people are converted and find Jesus Christ, is now hampered by persecution. And, you know, it's not a strange thing. You know, we are told, Paul wrote in 2 Timothy, "All they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." And, you know, we're told by Peter that, you know, we're not supposed to think it's a strange thing concerning those fiery trials which come to try us there in 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, "as though some strange thing happened unto you." You know, but, you know, Peter said, "But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy." Oh, praise the Lord. That's the mentality that we are told to have. Oh, yes, you know, if they hate us, if they persecute us, if they mock us, they step on us, if they hit us, they hurt us, oh my, you know, we are to rejoice. Oh my, because oh, there is a greater thing ahead, and oh yes, a greater moment ahead, praise the Lord. And that means when we suffer with Jesus Christ that we are partakers of his suffering. And those sufferings shall lead to that glorious moment when he is revealed from heaven and, you know, he reveals what is in store for his people. Oh, our inheritance that fadeth not away, you know, that he's preserved for us, you know, praise the Lord. And, oh, that inheritance that's not going to see corruption or, you know, ever be diminished. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, yes, there is a reason to this, and God uses it to strengthen us. He uses it also to test us at times, to try us, and to see, you know, how strong we are. And the thing is, when we endure persecution, trouble, all of that, we become stronger in Jesus Christ. Amen. There's something about it. He gives us a greater strength in overcoming. Praise the Lord. Oh my, yes, you know how it tells us, I believe it's Romans the 5th chapter. And here, just to read a little bit from Romans 5, it tells us, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. Praise the Lord. You see, there's a reason. Oh, yes, that we may be enduring trials and tribulations, persecutions. Yeah, because it's something to glory in. And, you know, that cross that, you know, he made available, that Jesus so willingly took on for the saving of our souls. You know, it's an amazing thing. You know, I just found that verse is coming to mind. So if you could bear with me a minute here. Oh, praise the Lord. Ah, thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, we know that Paul talked about, you know, the only way he was going to glory was in the cross. And by which Jesus was crucified, and by which we are crucified into the world. And Jesus told us to take up our cross and follow him. And so it is, you know, that cross was not an easy thing to bear by any means. But Jesus so willingly did it on our behalf. Oh yes, because he knew that was the means by which he could redeem us and buy us his salvation. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, that salvation that we must have if we're going to, you know, be with him forever in glory. Yes, and as Paul said, it was in Galatians 6 chapter, verse 14, I believe. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Amen. And that was, you know, the thing that he looked to, you know, the thing that brought him salvation, and the thing that brought him hope. And, you know, yes, despite the fact that there are sufferings that we do endure, you know, there's an end to it. It's going to, oh, the Lord's going to use us, and, you know, with those tribulations, we gain great things. We gain experience. Well, first of all, we gain patience. And with that patience, we gain experience. And with that experience, we gain hope, a hope beyond this world. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And praise the Lord. So there's a reason for it. And God allows it. And, you know, like Peter said, you know, beloved, don't think it's strange concerning the fiery trial, which is, you know, which is coming to try you, as though it was some strange thing that happened unto you. You know, it can happen very suddenly and, you know, in very many ways. But, oh, yes, I love how he said, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Oh, praise the Lord, you know, and you know, there in 1 Peter, since the Lord's got me going in that direction, you know, we're also told that if we're reproached for the name of Jesus, that, you know, there's a blessing in that too. Praise the Lord. It's the fourth chapter of 1 Peter. And verse 14 says, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Praise the Lord. But, you know, we're told, as it continues here in 1 Peter 4, but let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Praise the Lord. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? So then it's concluded in verse 19 here. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. But yes, we're talking about the church at Thessalonica. Let's now go to the epistle that Paul wrote to that church. Let's go to chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians and let's just read. Oh, yes, as Paul is penning this letter to these people that he obviously loves very dearly. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And it tells us here, verse 1, 1 Thessalonians, the first chapter. Paul and Silvanus, and that would be Silas, and Timotheus, and Timothy is obviously with Paul and Silvanus here at this moment, and it says, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. And oh yes, this was a church, oh yes, very well esteemed. And you know, as I've already mentioned, you know, they were new in the way. They were brand new Christians when persecution brought out. But oh my, it made them strong. It made them strong, and thank God that church remained, amen, as Paul was writing this epistle to them. Praise the Lord. And he says in verse 3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Oh, praise the Lord. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of man we were among you for your sakes. So Paul is writing here, yes, you know, it wasn't just word that the gospel was preached, but oh, there was a demonstration of the power of God in works and in deeds. Oh, yes, as it was preached to them at Thessalonica. And just for a pause, let's just go to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, where Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. And interestingly, I think this goes along well with what we read there in 1 Thessalonians, but he says here, Paul, in the second chapter, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. you know, it wasn't necessarily an easy thing to stand before a new group of people, you know. You never quite knew the outcome at the first, did ya? You didn't know if you're going to be received or, you know, or if they're going to, you know, try to tear you down. But here it is. Oh, it says in verse 4, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. He wasn't an orator, in other words, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Praise the Lord. That's how, oh yes, it broke out, and the mighty signs and wonders begin to happen. And oh yes, people came to see, to get a glimpse, to be partakers of these great and wonderful things. And then verse 5 tells us that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Amen. Oh, yes, the Lord takes us, you know, and he calls us, and despite our backgrounds and everything else, and you know, when we yield our lives to him and give it over to him, oh, he knows how to take us and make something beautiful out of our lives that he can use for his name's sake. Praise the Lord for his glory. Praise our God. So back here in 1 Thessalonians, the first chapter, again, verse 5, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sakes. So yes, God was working in their midst. The Holy Ghost was obvious and evident and oh, mighty upon them, praise the Lord. And it tells us, and he became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Oh yes, and as we notice there back in Acts, that, you know, it did not take long for tribulation, for affliction to break out in that church. They're just brand new believers and already being persecuted. And Paul had to leave, he and Silas, and then go to the next city, which was Berea, because of those unbelieving Jews. So yes, oh, despite that, these people, these believers in Thessalonica became followers of Paul and Silas and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, there's a joy that comes forth when we suffer for the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. And oh, by, look at this. So that ye were in samples or examples to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, they had been accused of turning the world upside down by those unbelieving Jews. What a compliment. Praise the Lord. And, you know, they had such faith. Oh, yes. And the Lord used them in such a mighty way that their faith became known to many different parts of that continent. And, oh, wherever it spread. But also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, such a light coming forth. The Lord moving in them in such a mighty way that, oh my, they didn't have to question. They didn't have to wonder, you know, what was going on. You know, oh, they were believers. They had been with Jesus. Praise the Lord. They were proclaiming the gospel. Amen. It was obvious. And it tells us, oh, yes. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Amen. There was a repentance when the gospel was spoken forth there in Thessalonica. Amen. These were heathen people, these Greeks. You know, and the noble women, they were heathens. And in order to come to Jesus, they had to get rid of their heathen practices. They had to get rid of their idols. Amen. They had to turn them over to God. Oh, have a big bonfire and get rid of them. Praise the Lord. But that was the faith that came into their heart. Oh, despite the affliction and despite the trouble, that outbreak that came forth, oh, so readily and so quickly upon them as brand new believers. Oh, praise the Lord. Yet, by God's grace and mercy, they were able to continue in the way, praise the Lord, and in such a way that, oh my, this, you know, it was spread abroad. The works, the happenings there in the church there at Thessalonica. Oh, yes, so you didn't have to question it. You didn't have to wonder. Oh, my, you know, people begin to know, you know, believers and unbelievers. Oh, there's a stir going on in Thessalonica. And people are getting rid of their old idols and dumping them, burning them and so on, getting rid of them. And now turning to Jesus Christ. Serving the living and true God. Oh, praise the Lord. What a wonderful testimony. Amen. And oh, yes, that's the way it is. Because, you know, God reaches out to us when we're yet sinners. You know, before we know him. You know, when we're doing all kinds of disgraceful things. Not living an upcoming life. You know, it's, you know, things of the world and everything else. But oh yes, I believe it's the Lord's great pleasure to take us in our sins, cause us to repent and turn our lives over to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh yes, obeying that command to be baptized in his name. And oh yes, being filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, praise the Lord, so we can continue those works. So, oh, yes, we can make an impact in this world. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So, oh, yes, that testimony. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you. Oh, yes, they had just come to them, and yet, what a response. and how ye turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Oh, praise the Lord. And that wrath that he's talking about is, oh, God's judgment when he comes to judge this world with flaming fire. Oh, yes, as it's described in the first chapter of 2 Thessalonians. Oh, yes. Verse 7 here, 2 Thessalonians 1. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Praise the Lord. Oh, what a special calling. But oh yes, that's the wrath that is to come. Amen. Oh yes, when Jesus Christ comes forth, oh, this time, oh yes, with great vengeance, that day of the Lord, when he comes to judge the Lord, to judge the world in his righteousness. Amen. Amen. And oh yes, we can continue here with the second chapter here in 1 Thessalonians. It tells us, for yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. And wow, that's a wonderful thing. You know, it's beautiful to see people come to the Lord Jesus. But oh my, it's so sad if they don't continue in the way. But how beautiful it is that you know, you can go, you know, the years can pass and you can, you know, you can see that there's growth. And oh, that those instructions, those teachings, the word of God, oh, was not in vain. Praise the Lord. That's a beautiful thing. Amen. But even after that, we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi. And they had been in Philippi before they came to Thessalonica. And that's the wonderful story where they were thrust into prison. And they began to praise the Lord at midnight, and all the prisoners heard them. And the Lord sent his angel, and oh, yes, he set them free. Amen. Praise the Lord. And, you know, the beautiful story, the jailer came to Jesus Christ and his family, and that church, oh, yes, grew amazingly because of that event. Oh, yes, the things that happened at Philippi. We were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. Oh, despite trouble, with contention. And yikes, that's not easy when, you know, a lot of times if there's trouble, you just as soon run away and get out of there. But, you know, here it was, that church of Thessalonica was born in trouble, in affliction. Amen. And yet, praise the Lord, it made them stronger. Oh, praise the Lord. It made them stronger. Despite that, oh, yes, there was much contention or trouble. You know, the devil was really trying hard to hinder, wasn't he? To destroy that group of believers before they even got started. Oh, my. And, it, you know, keep that in mind, because things get a little bit difficult at times. Sometimes a whole lot difficult. And, you know, you might feel like running to the, you know, in another direction or far, far away. But, oh, praise the Lord, there's a reason for it. And God knows how to deliver and how to make his word just come forth in a mighty, wonderful way. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, to work it out. And it tells us in verse 3, for our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. In other words, they didn't have wrong motives, Paul and Silas when they came to Thessalonica. They weren't doing it to gain fame or fortune, money, you know. They weren't doing it for those reasons. No, what was in their heart was to share the gospel. Amen. And to see people converted and brought into this glorious way. Praise the Lord. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust, oh yes, and it's God who commissions us to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing man, but God, which trieth our hearts. Amen. And, oh boy, don't ever try to be a man pleaser. Oh, that would get you into just a heap of trouble. But oh my, you know what really matters is not what man thinks anyway. Amen. It's what God thinks. Amen. And so, yeah, we're not here to please men or to appease them or any such thing, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time use we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. So they weren't pretending to be somebody they were not. They were, you know, not coming for, again, for wrong intentions and motives, to make a show, a display, to gain some fame or, money or whatever. Nor of man sought we glory. No, not to glory. Neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. And Paul was very careful. He did not want to be a burdensome thing to the disciples, the new converts, and often he would work his tent making so that he could make his own way and not have others support him. But it says, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls. Oh yes, because ye were dear unto us. Oh, there was a close bond that developed between Paul and the people that came to the Lord Jesus, the converts. Praise the Lord. So of course, yes, yes, must of course impart the gospel of God to them, but not only, it became, a beautiful sharing, a bond, a fellowship of love and love and respect one for another. Praise the Lord. What the gospel does to our hearts and how it changes us. For you remember, brethren, our labors and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses, and God also, holily and justly and unblameably, we behaved ourselves among you that believe. And yes, we want to be an example of the believers. Yes, to give the right, meaning to, the outsiders, so, we don't cause confusion or, some other bad representation. So Paul's great desire just to witness the life in Christ. To be holy and just and unblameable, that kind of example before them that came to the Lord. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. And here, oh yes, the charge that you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you into his kingdom and glory. Oh yes, we want to be a good ambassador for the Lord, a good representative of his kingdom. We want to walk worthy of that calling. Hey, it's a high calling, that call to follow Jesus. There is no higher calling than that. And oh yes, that he would choose us, that he would open our blind eyes and our deaf ears so that we can see and hear, and our minds so that we can understand. I mean, wow, what a gift. What a beautiful gift, praise the Lord. We are so blessed as his children. And oh yes, Paul charged them, he exhorted, and exhorting can also mean to encourage and comforted, and there's times for comforting and charged, and charging can mean a warning. Every one of you, as a father doth his children, that you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you into his kingdom and glory. His kingdom and his glory, all the things that are prepared for them that love him. Oh, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. Oh, praise the Lord. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Oh, praise the Lord. They had that understanding that, he wasn't just speaking words. He wasn't just making a speech. It wasn't with enticing words of man's wisdom. But, oh, my, it was with that power and that authority, that anointing of the Lord. And, oh, it was in truth. It was the word of God. Was what, oh yes, God had ordained from the foundation of the world. And oh yes, he was speaking it forth, and they realized it, these people at Thessalonica, these saints of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. For ye brethren became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men. And here it is, enough time has passed, and this is Paul's understanding, his own countrymen, his own Jewish kin. Here is how he is assessing them. He realized that these people at Thessalonica had suffered great things of their countrymen, just as he suffered great things of the Jews. And read the book of Acts, you realize they were the ones that stirred up the others. They were the ones that came against him, that opposed him so greatly. And oh yes, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men. Oh, this is how it came to Paul, after time. And yeah, this is how it unfolded, the story of the Jewish people who declared that they wanted Jesus to be crucified and let his blood be on us and our children. Oh my, the horrendous act of treachery that was committed there before Pilate. Pilate, who wanted to release Jesus, but yet, oh my, Jesus' own people, his own brethren, wanted him crucified. Oh, what a story. What a story. And it says, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins away, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. And oh yes, there's great consequences when we reject Jesus Christ. Oh yes, when we come against him and oppose him, and I don't want to say we, it's those that do that. God forbid that we would ever be in that category. But praise the Lord, God knows how to give strength. Oh, so that we can endure such suffering.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins away, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. But we, brethren, be taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. You can just, you know, discern Paul's great love for these people, their walk with the Lord, and their willingness, oh my, to do the straight and narrow, to take up their cross and follow Jesus, even though it wasn't easy. There's nothing easy about being persecuted, about being afflicted, and oh my, you know, wrongly, without, you know, even a decent reason. But praise the Lord, we know all they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution,
amen.
Right? And it's not a strange thing, and we shouldn't, you know, look at it as, you know, the strangest thing in the world, because it happened to Jesus. He was perfect. Oh, yes. Oh, he who did nothing wrong. Oh, he who fulfilled the plan of God. Oh my, it happened to him. And you know, the servant is not above the master. If it happened to our master, it certainly will happen to the servant. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But he loved, Paul loved these people. And though they were absent, you know, from each other in presence, they weren't absent from his heart. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope? See if I'm seeing this right here, just a minute. For what is our hope? Okay. Or joy, or crown of rejoicing. Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord, for ye are our glory and joy. Oh, praise the Lord, and oh, that is how Paul looked at these wonderful saints at Thessalonica. Oh yes, who came to the Lord Jesus. Oh yes, giving up their idolatries, oh, their heathen customs and ways to serve the living and true God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And praise the Lord, what a story. You know, oh, the Lord working so mightily in them that they turned the world upside down. And oh, yes, the fame of them was heard round and about. Oh, praise the Lord. What a witness. What a light. Praise the Lord. Oh, what an inspiration. Praise the Lord. And oh, yes, I believe, oh, there's more for us to do this time. Oh, yes, as we walk this earth before the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh yes, more to be done while there's yet a few moments. Praise the Lord, by his God's grace and mercy. Oh yes, we want that power from on high to fill us, to endue us, oh, to cover us, oh my, so we can be that light, that shiny light in this world of darkness. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, in our testimony, oh yes, will be that of what Jesus Christ has done, how he came to this world to buy us, to redeem us, to change us, to make us his own sons and daughters. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. What a wonder. Oh, that church at Thessalonica, they turned the world upside down. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, the Lord, give us such a testimony. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Oh, God, I pray that you would inspire us. I pray, oh, God, that you work in us. I pray, oh, God, that you motivate us. Oh, God, that we could go forth and do your work, Lord, and shine, oh, that light that you put within us, Lord. That we'll be a witness, a light in this world before this all is over. Oh, God, help us, inspire us. Oh, God, motivate us. Oh, God, work in us. Oh, Lord, help us to be what we ought to be in you. Oh, Lord, in Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Amen.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we're going to turn our course books to number 78 and sing Keep On Walking by Faith. Number 78 in the course book. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.